You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Abby Ranella and we are doing another Q&A episode, and these are so much fun. We love getting to encourage you and just having the opportunity to serve you homeschool parents and answer some of your questions. And so if you have questions for us, be sure to send them to us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com and let us know how we can encourage you. But Abby, welcome. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, it's good to be here.
I love this. I love doing this with you. It's so much fun. And I love getting to answer these questions that we've gotten from our listeners. And so we're just going to kind of jump in with this. And this first question, so funny, when I first saw it, it's two simple words that have a gigantic meaning in the world of homeschooling. And I looked at it and I was like, I think I'm going to have to let Abby answer this one. And those two simple words with the big meaning are time management, question mark, right?
Double question mark.
And I'm not great at time management. I'm not a very type A person. And so I'm just kind of one of those people who I don't really fly by the seat of my pants always, but I kind of do. And I'm starting to realize more and more that I need to have better time management. As a matter of fact, we recently did an episode with September McCarthy, and she was so fantastic. And after that one, I was like, okay, we are going to change some things this year going into this new year. And we are going to do a morning time, just a more concentrated morning time basket. So I actually got a basket. Ooh. And I'm actually putting it together. I'm assembling it right now. And I need to be more intentional with time management. And so since you're good at this, Abby, I would love for you to tackle this question and help me and help those other time management challenged moms like myself. Just know how can we get better at this? What do you do? What does it look like for
you? Well, I am super type A. I like thrive on schedules and planning and all of that stuff. So, I think what works best, at least for my family, is kind of blocking out my day rather than, you know, you can pick 15-minute blocks, 30-minute blocks, but really just blocking out my day and then deciding what are my priorities. So like you were saying, we do a morning time. We do an hour, actually. I kind of chunk out an hour for our morning time, and we can hit all sorts of things during that time that we can all do together. And then I have the next chunk or block of time where my kids kind of go off and they can do their independent work. And that allows me to work with my little one. And then the next chunk of time is our lunchtime and then read alouds. So I can read aloud to the kids. So I think the best plan that works for us is really just blocking out my day chunks and then deciding what is most important. I think also, or I know that when you do that, what ends up getting pushed to the end are all those fun and exciting, you know, all those, I really wish I would have done that. So for our family, I leave Fridays as open for all those extra fun things that we want to do, all those extra read alouds that didn't get really planned in, or the game schooling, which is so much fun, or all kind of those extra things go down on Fridays. And that way I can really focus on my Monday through Thursday and work in those chunks of time. The other thing is when that chunk is up, whether my kids have finished their work or not, they can put their stuff away. So I just require that they work their best for that chunk of time, rather than just get it done, or, you know, it helps them to not rush through it. They know that they have this much time and they'll get that done. Time management also for homeschool moms is we also have to cook. We also have to clean. We also have to manage the laundry. So in those chunks where my kids are doing their independent work, that's where I'm prepping dinner. Or in the chunks where they're reading aloud to one another, you know, they can read aloud and I can listen while I'm also doing laundry. So you can work your daily stuff that you also have to do into those chunks of time. And that works really well. One huge thing that really helps our family is menu planning. Because then that gets taken off your daily list. You do it. I do it every other week. So I do a 2 week menu, but you could do 1 week menu. You could even do 3 days, but if you're doing it every single day, that will take a huge amount of time. So that's a huge help for time management.
So what you're saying, let me just get this correct, is that it's not good time management to stand at the refrigerator at 4 o'clock in the afternoon
and decide what's for dinner
and figure out what are we going to have for dinner tonight? No, I'm not saying I do that. I've just heard of other moms.
And my way would only work. It works for us. And it could help a lot of moms who need something. Some people do fly by the seat of their pants and it works really well. And if they tried to chunk out their day like I do, it would make them absolutely crazy. I couldn't do that. I would end up starting at 4 o'clock, looking in the fridge, and by 4:15, I'd be on the floor crying, calling pizza. So,
That's
so
basically how I feel every day. I want to curl up in the fetal position every day at dinner time.
So for us, because I have it planned out, I know the night before what meat I need to take out of the freezer because I know what comes tomorrow. I get up in the morning. If it's a crock pot meal, I throw it in and I'm done. I don't have to think about it and dinner's done. It takes it off my plate that I already know what's going to happen for food the next day, that I don't even have to think about it. It's just done, you know? And then I can plan according when I make my menu plan. I can say, okay, that day we have co-op. So it's not going to be, you know, a 5-course meal that takes 3 hours to make is not going to work on that day. Not that I ever do those, but, you know, and so you can kind of plan according to your activities that you have going on. And so that it just takes a lot of the stress off of things.
Yes. Are you for hire?
Am I for hire?
I want to have Abby plan my
manage so much that if you want to reach out to me, I mean, I love it's strange. I like thrive on it. It's a stress relief for me.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Maybe it's a disorder. I don't know.
No. I think like everything else, there needs to be a healthy balance.
Yes.
Between the two, especially for someone like myself, because I can find myself because I like order and I like cleanliness, right? And I like, you know, I like my towels to be folded a very specific way. I mean, there are certain things, but when it comes to scheduling our day out, I just have a hard time. And one of the things that I struggle with the most is when a wrench gets thrown in it, or, you know, if there's a doctor appointment in the morning, I feel like it throws off my whole day, and it just, we come back mornings seem to be a little bit better because I feel like we can come back and kind of pick up school, you know, later in the day.
See, that's so funny because I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
If I have something in the morning, the whole day is done.
Well, yes. Well, that often happens with me too, but I'm saying if there's something like in the middle of the day, at lunchtime, then there's no chance. That anything's going to happen. And I cannot tell you how many times the girls and I have said, okay, well, we're going to just do this one thing. But when we get back, we're going to get back on track with school. And then we get back and then, you know, the neighbor kids come over, they want to play. And, you know,
But I think that's too why we need to schedule in margin, because it's not good to have such a tight schedule that the schedule is ruining the freedom. I mean, part of the reason we homeschool is we have freedom. We have freedom to say, hey, there's an opportunity, let's go do it. Or, hey, we got a call and a neighbor needs help. We can we can skip our school and go help that neighbor. Or, you know, honestly, we just work in that sometimes we just have really bad days and no one's going to learn anyway. So working in margin is really important. And for someone like me, the type A, we can be owned by our schedule, and that's not good at all. So and that's also why these blocks are nice, you know, work in a couple chunks, a couple of those blocks in your week for nothing. So if you get derailed on Monday, you can bump it to that empty block on Thursday. So you got to schedule in margin also, or else you're going to lose your mind. And don't let the clock and the schedule run you.
Yeah.
You have freedom.
So you do yours in chunks. So you don't necessarily say from 8 to 9, you just say for the first hour that we can do school. So if you have a doctor appointment at 9 o'clock in the morning, you can bump that chunk of time to, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah. There's lots of different ways to do it. I usually chunk out my day in 2 hour chunks, you know? And so if there's a doctor appointment, it goes in that chunk. And, you know, that might mean we don't do morning basket that day. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, it's okay. You need to go to the doctor.
Yes.
Your kids are going to learn at the doctor too.
Yeah.
So that really helps. And I've done the loop scheduling before, and that's really nice. That has worked well for our family so that I'm not owned by our schedule.
Right.
I make it work for me. So if we just do the next thing the next day.
Yeah.
And that works in margin. So
yes. Yeah. Loop scheduling is great. I know Pam Barnhill has loop scheduling forms, and she kind of explains it. I'm sure you could find a video somewhere on YouTube or somewhere of Pam Barnhill talking about loop scheduling for those who are like, what in the world are you talking about? Or on her website, pambarnhill.com. But I've heard her talk a lot about that. And I've actually, I have the printout of her loop schedule.
It helps because you can be scheduled and yet you aren't owned by your schedule. Like if one thing goes wrong, you're not completely derailed.
Right.
So that helps. But it is important to have time management. If as homeschool moms, if you have no sort of time, if there's none, it's not going to work well.
Right. Really quickly, I know you briefly touched on it, but explain what loop scheduling is, how it works for those who are like, what in the world are you talking about?
Okay. So rather than Monday, we do this, Tuesday, we do this, Thursday, we do this, you know, lesson 121 on Monday, 122 on Tuesday. And the worry about that is, what if I don't get to 121 on Monday? Now everything's a mess. So basically loop scheduling is just you write down what you're going to do without dates, without times, and you just do the next thing. So you just do the next thing, and you kind of need a visual, and maybe we can link to some stuff with visuals, but you basically loop through it, if that makes sense. When you get to the bottom, you go back up to the top and you just keep doing the next thing. So for example, if you need to do math 5 times and language 3 times, you kind of intersperse it and you do the next thing rather than saying on Monday at 11, I must do this. It opens you up to a lot more freedom, but it also keeps you on track.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yep. And you keep some things the same. Like you have your morning basket time every morning.
Yep.
But then as far as you, and when you're talking about scheduling stuff, you're talking about, you know, history, science.
Math.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Those things you loop.
Yeah.
So.
But every day we do. And, you know, you can fudge it to make it work for you. I kind of do. It's sort of like loop scheduling, but not really. I mean, you got it. You have to do what works for you. And that's the beauty of homeschool. What works for you, what works for your kids, what works for your schedule. And it's different year to year.
Right.
It feels sometimes different week to week. But just get some sort of time management in play. Don't let it own you, but make it work for you so that you have a smooth running home.
Yeah. Love it. Okay. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and answer the next question.
Last year, our family discovered Knotgrass History, and we love it.
Knotgrass History helps history learners become history makers. All Knotgrass History curriculum combines narrative lessons, historical novels and biographies, activities for a variety of learning styles, and most importantly, a Christian worldview.
Knotgrass History is great for all ages. My mom uses it with my sister and me, who are 5 years apart, and we all love it.
To find out if Knotgrass History is right for your family, visit knotgrass.com and download the first 3 units for free.
That's knotgrass.com.
The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is available now to encourage you. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended. Filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. I have been so encouraged and blessed. The one thing that stood out to me about each session I have listened to is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful. Thank you for everyone who made this possible." And another homeschool mom said, "Thank you so much for all the value provided at this price. We are a big family with a super tight budget. My husband was encouraged. The boys listened in too. A relief to find this resource at such an affordable price with so much value." Register today at homegrowngeneration.com for a free preview, over 9 hours of content, or register for lifetime access to the entire conference for just $20. Go to homegrowngeneration.com today.
We are back, and here's the next question, and this is one of my favorite questions. I love being asked this question and getting to answer it because I always have a plethora of things to offer. Oh. So this question says, what are some of your favorite homeschool books? And we've actually done several podcast episodes with authors of various homeschool books? And that's a broad question because we could talk about books that are related specifically to homeschooling, like how to homeschool, or mm-hmm. books that relate to things that are related to homeschooling, or parenting, because that falls under the umbrella of right, homeschooling.
For sure. Or
marriage or homeschool books could also be, you know, what kind of books do your homeschoolers read? So it's a really broad question. So I'm going to kind of talk through some of my favorite homeschool books, meaning those that I think have been really helpful in teaching me how to homeschool, or at least giving yes. me some guidance. One of the new ones actually that I have, and we did a podcast with her recently, it's by Amy Smith and it's called The Restful Homeschool Resolution. And it's a 21-day kind of journey that she takes you on through scripture and through just kind of thinking through like, where are we? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? How is God working in your homeschool and in your heart? And it's just fun. It's a book/journal and very well written. And so I will link back to that episode with Amy if people want to know more about that book. But that one's fantastic. And it's a brand new book. It just came out, I don't know, sometime in the last like 6 months, I think. So that's a great one. Another one that we've talked about on the podcast that I really love is by Tricia Goyer and Christy Clover. And we have had both of these homeschool moms on the podcast. And this one's called Homeschool Basics. This is a fantastic book for, it's actually a really good book for any homeschool mom, you know, even those of us who are kind of seasoned in homeschooling, but it's a great one for those who are just getting started. And it's actually called Homeschool Basics, How to Get Started, Keep Motivated, and Bring Out the Best in Your Kids. And I love that last part, bring out the best in your kids, because it's not just about checking the boxes and having the right curriculum and doing it all the right way. But it's really like, how do you make that connection with your kids? How do you build that relationship with them? And so this book is fantastic. And I will, of course, link to that in the podcast notes as well. But that one's called Homeschool Basics by Tricia Goyer and Christy Clover. And Tricia, I actually don't have that one in my stack here, but Tricia Goyer recently wrote another one called, I totally lost it. What is the one about not complaining?
Oh my goodness, of course. Oh, it's so good.
Yes.
Grumble Free Home.
Yes.
Grumble Free Grumble Family. Free. Grumble Free.
Grumble Free something.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that terrible? We
should all be grumble free. It's something grumble free.
Yes. Something grumble free. I'll link to that one as well. Also, we did a podcast with her on that one. And that's a fantastic one because there can be a lot of grumbling that goes on.
That's a great book.
In our homeschooling. This one, I read this one a couple summers ago and loved it. It's called Mere Motherhood, and it's by Cindy Rollins. This one is not talked about a lot. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but it is such, it's like one of those gems that if you have it and you've read it, I almost feel like I'm in this like secret club of like moms in the know who have read this book.
I'm going to be in that club.
It's fantastic. So it's called Mere Motherhood, Morning Times, Nursery Rhymes, and My Journey Towards Sanctification. So it's kind of Cindy's, it's a story of her journey of getting started in homeschooling her kids, and her kids are all adults now and grown. So it's written by a veteran homeschool mom, and it's not really a how-to book, but she gives so much. This book is just full of wisdom and it is very well written. It's entertaining because she tells some really funny stories in the book. And then she has a ton of resources, but it's interesting because the resources are kind of interwoven through the book. And so, I mean, as I was reading it, I was highlighting like crazy, like, oh, I need to read that book. Oh, I need to check this thing out or check that thing out. And so it's another great read. Mere Motherhood.
I'm just sitting here putting things in my Amazon cart as we're talking. This is an expensive episode.
I know it is going to be an expensive episode, but Mere Motherhood by Cindy Rollins. The next one, this one's by Heidi St. John, and it's called The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Daylight. Yeah. And this one I read early in my homeschool journey. I mean, probably within my first 1 or 2 years of homeschooling. And it's managing your days through the homeschool years. So talking about time management, Apparently, I need to read this one again. It's been a while since we were just talking about time management. But yeah, it's The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Daylight by Heidi St. John. And it's a fantastic book. Just another must have. Another one, we recently did another podcast on this one, and I'll link back to all of these so you can actually just hear from these women yourselves. But this one is called Mom, Master Organizer mm-hmm. of Mayhem by Christy Clover, another new book that just came out. And you'll want to listen to that podcast because Christy is the master of organization. Yes. I mean, she's just wired that way and gives some really, really practical advice on how you can organize your day. So those are my like kind of how-to homeschool books that I love and recommend. Two others that I think every homeschool mom should own or every homeschool dad is Honey for a Child's Heart. And that's so good. And there's also Honey for a Teenager's Heart. I think that's what it's called. I have that one with me. But it's just a book about books. And it's the imaginative use of books in family life. And it's a book that will help you figure out what books you can read to your kids, what books your kids can read on their own. And she gives little descriptions of each of them and has them kind of broken down by category and tells, you know, kind of what age groups they're, you know, each book is good for. And it's just a fantastic resource to have. So that one's more of a resource book. And she talks about reading. And then there's also Books Children Love. And that's basically the same thing. It's a guide to the best children's literature. So as you're looking for good books for your kids, because we know with homeschooling, one of the most important things is good books. Read to your kids. Read to them every day.
And we also know that you can no longer just browse the libraries like you used to.
Yes.
And let kids pick out books. And I know so many homeschool moms are asking, what books can we or can we not read? So what an incredible resource that you can just trust to go to.
Yep. And both of these books were written many years ago. And so you're not going to find books that have been written in the last, you know, even 10 years. I mean, let's see, Books Children Love, the first printing of it was 1987 is the copyright on the version that I have. So we're talking about books that have been around for quite some time, and not just classics, but just really good children's literature, fantastic books. And Honey for a Child's Heart, I mean, this came out in 1969 originally. And then the copy that I have was, is dated 1989. So these are just great resources that really, I think every homeschool family should have those. And I know I'm going kind of fast here, but again, I'll link to all these. My two absolute favorite books on parenting are Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp.
You're stealing all of mine.
I'm sorry, Abby. You're going to have to make up some others. Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. And then Ginger Hubbard, who's a very, very sweet, good friend of mine. She's got two. I Can't Believe You Just Said That is her newest one. And that's been out for about 2 years.
And if you say Don't Make Me Count to Three, you have stolen almost my whole list.
Okay, then I won't tell you my second book from the same author, Ginger Hubbard.
Tell us.
Oh, it's called Don't Make Me Count to Three.
This is how you know these are quality books, because our lists look almost exactly alike.
Are they? And we didn't even talk about this beforehand.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That is awesome. So yeah, Don't Make Me Count to Three. That's a book I read early in when my oldest was probably 1 or 2 years old, and she's now 14. So that's an absolute must read. That and Don't Make Me Count to Three and Shepherding a Child's Heart. Yep. Those two, if you could pick any two parenting books on parenting, it would be those two. And Israel Wayne has a new parenting book that just came out as well. And I have it and I'm totally losing.
Yeah.
Oh, Raising Them Up is what it's called.
Raising Them Up. And we just did a
podcast with him. Yep.
That is another phenomenal parenting. Those were definitely my top two parenting books. Don't Make Me Count to Three and Shepherding a Child's Heart. All right. Do you have more on your list, or can I like give the measly two I have left that you haven't stolen from me?
Well, okay. This, I don't know. I'm just kind of bragging about this because I'm really excited. I just discovered for free. Well, I didn't discover them for free. We had a book sale for our local homeschool support group. And I have wanted for years to get the McGuffey's readers. Mm-hmm. And someone put the entire box set on the free table for someone to just be blessed by them. And I felt like I had won the lottery, literally, because I got this whole box set, which I have wanted these. I've wanted this set for years and years and years. And these are the original McGuffey's readers. These were written in the 1800s. And the funny thing is we watch sometimes, we don't watch TV. We don't have cable to watch, but on Amazon, we will sometimes watch Little House on the Prairie. Mm. And these are what the kids read on Little House. And so my daughter, she was so excited because she was like, those are the books that they read on Little House. And literally, like, she's reading them now and she's loving them. And you know what's so amazing is, guess what? They talk about God and they have scripture.
Constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all about morals and values and the Bible. And these are the books that they actually used to learn how to read. They used for spelling, for everything. And so anyway, so those are great. If you guys can get your hands on McGuffey's readers, they're amazing. So that's the end of my list. Abby, do you have anything left?
Well, I don't have anything. That's the question. Do I have anything left? Because she took that one first. There's actually, I kid you not, of my whole entire list, I only have two left.
Oh, no.
That means those are amazing books. One is Teaching from Rest by Sarah McKenzie. And it is, I read this book before the beginning of every single school year.
Love it.
And I just keep rereading it because it just puts you back where you need to be when you start, which is teach. And that's really good, as we were talking about, you know, time management. So many homeschool moms, let's talk about time management. Let's talk about curriculum. Let's talk about this. But this book will put you back to where your heart needs to be before you even start looking into those things. And last but not least, the one I have on my list that you didn't, but you're going to go, oh yeah, that one too, is by Todd Wilson, called Lies Homeschool Moms Believe.
Oh yeah. I haven't read that.
And that's a fun one. Okay. It's a fun one because it's written from a dad's point of view, and Todd Wilson is absolutely hilarious. And what's really great about it is you read these things and you're like, I'm not the only one that believed that lie, you know? So it debunks a lot of the lies that we as moms tell ourselves. So that's another really great one. So that's really all I have on my list after you stole all of those from me.
And I thought of one more.
One more
by Dorinda Wilson, The Unhurried Homeschooler.
Oh, that is a that's
another great
that
one.
That was kind of like the precedent to teaching for, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. And that's the a short one too. That's a super easy read.
That would be, I would say that one would be one that you read every single fall too, or in the summer. That's a yearly, an annual reader to get your heart back where you need to be.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
Put that one put it to the top. Dorinda Wilson's Unhurried Homeschooler.
Yeah. So now go out and buy all of these books.
Yes.
And read them all before the next school year. You will be blessed, I promise. You may
manage your time well.
Yeah, manage your time well. You may not get to make dinner or do laundry or anything, but you will be well read and you will know you need to know about homeschooling. So, oh my
goodness.
You'll
have time to homeschool. Yeah. But you'll know all about it.
Okay, that went so fast. We are out of time for this episode, but let's come back on Wednesday and we've got a few more questions that we're going to answer. So join us again in a few days and we will see you then. Bye.